In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Before we get going, hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. No, I did. And, holiday season rolling around. That means we're finally getting to some of the real rumors going around baseball. You're in the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You've got the winter meetings coming up in less than a week down in Dallas. So it is going to be really interesting to see the developments that come out of the winter meetings soon to come. And hey, some stuff could go down before the winter meetings happen as well. And we've had a couple signings over the past week that I'll touch on. And as always in these offseason pods, I will give you the latest rumors with trades, free agency, whole nine yards. We will go through it and kind of dissect some of these options here and just give the opinion of what I think the Phillies should do this offseason based on, what is being floated around out there. So we'll get going with it. And my big question I think I want to ask leading into this pod, and we can kind of branch off and go a bunch of different routes based off this, is that do the Phillies really need to shake things up this offseason? And I know I've been somebody who has said yes ever since they lost to the Mets, and we saw how they went down in four games, and the offense went down kind of the same way it did in 2023 with the bats just going extremely quiet. A lot of the big money guys just not coming up offensively when they needed to. As time passes by, I'm starting to question a little more if the Phillies need to shake a lot of things up here. And I think it's maybe just the emotion wearing off of, another disappointing postseason exit. This team did win 95 games last year. They did do a lot of positive things. But at the same time, the fact that they did go out the same way they did in 2023, and it just feels like it's sort of a systematic issue in terms of, a lot of the bats being the same approach of, swing and miss, all or nothing, and, everyone talks about it. I just wonder, is this team closer than we actually think? Because they won 95 games. They won the division last year. They've come very close a couple of times. Last year, obviously not as close. But it leads me to believe that, maybe us as fans tend to overreact in terms of them needing to make, full-blown changes this offseason. And, I've never really said that they need to blow it up or they need to, get a new core in here. I don't think I've, said that at all. But I do wonder, is getting off of a guy like Boehm and bringing Bregman in here, for example, is that the type of thing that is going to elevate the Phillies, to get back to the World Series and eventually win it? And I'm just not sure. And so we'll see how this all develops during the winter meetings. But it's a question to ponder, I think, as, I start, talking about some of these rumors and some of these, names out there that are connected to the Phillies right now. So without further ado, let's do it. Winter meetings, less than a week down in Dallas, like I said. That is where a lot of the activity is going to go down. And the first name I got to talk about, even though he's not connected to the Phillies at this point, I did a podcast saying that, the Phillies plan to meet with Juan Soto, and those were the rumors going around. It appears that that is not going to be the case. And Juan Soto seems as if he is down to his final five teams, the ones that have been floated around being the Mets, the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Dodgers. If I were to make a prediction right now, as of December 6th, 2024, I would say that Juan Soto, as much as this pains me to say, I think he's going to be a New York Met because some of the rumors that are going around right now, it seems like he is getting, you know, $660 million plus dollars for 15 years. I don't know if the Yankees are going to match that, but I think even if the Yankees do match that type of offer, the Mets are just going to, you know, go absolutely crazy on this right now. And I think that they're going to offer a contract, if the Yankees match that, of over $700 million. And I don't know if the Steinbrenners are going to, you know, just go all in on one contract like that, especially after they've signed Judge and they've signed a lot of these, Garrett Cole again, a lot of these big name guys. And we'll see. I think it would be an absolute embarrassment for the Yankees if they didn't get Juan Soto back, considering all he did for them in the postseason last year. He had a Bryce Harper Bedlam at the Bank like homer in that ALCS in Cleveland. One of the, you know, I know there's been a lot of iconic moments in Yankee franchise history, but that's an iconic moment in that franchise's history. And for him to go across town to the New York Mets, to me, would be an absolute embarrassment. I don't know how the fans would respond to that, but obviously it would not be met with positivity from the Yankee fans there. So, again, if I had to make a guess, this is based off of pretty much nothing, just what I've seen floated around, what I've read. I think Juan Soto is going to end up in New York Met, which, again, won't be great, but it just seems like the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are just those teams that are kind of being, you know, used by Scott Boras's negotiating sort of, you know, teams to where, you know, the Yankees would never, ever allow Juan Soto to go to the Red Sox. I don't care how much it would probably cost them. So I think that's just probably a negotiation tactic from Scott Boras, and we will see what ends up happening with Juan Soto. But again, it seems like it's that five-team mix with the Phillies being on the outside looking in. So not that I ever thought that they were really in on Soto. And I know they brought some more investors here, but I think that's kind of geared towards some other things like, you know, making ballpark renovations before the All-Star game in 2026. I just never felt that the Phillies were real players for Juan Soto. So that's where they stand right now. And another interesting rumor that I saw come across my Twitter feed this week was that the Phillies, and this was reported by multiple people, have continued to shop around Boehm, as you know we've mentioned plenty of times, as well as Castellanos and Ranger. And I think this is interesting from, you know, a couple different standpoints, just from the fact that it seems like, you know, Castellanos, I'll just get to quickly here, they've been shopping him for the last two off seasons, it seems like, and I just don't know if you're going to be able to get anything of value in return that's more valuable than Castellanos is in the lineup, if that makes sense, to where I just think between what he provides to you in the lineup and with his leadership, if you're basically getting off him just as a salary dump, I don't know if that's worth, you know, just the 1 to 2 years of having to pay the contract. And I just think that Castellanos is well respected in that locker room or in that clubhouse, which, you know, I think is an important thing. And I know vibes aren't everything, and you actually have to go win baseball games. But I do think that Castellanos probably provides more to the Phillies right now than he would in a trade just purely as a salary dump. So that's where I'm kind of at with Castellanos. But with Ranger, I think there's some real smoke around this. And it would pain me a little bit because I'm a big Ranger fan. I love the way Ranger carries himself on the field. I love the way, despite having a really bad second half, I just like the way he fights out there. And I thought that playoff game gave you the best sort of look at who Ranger Suarez really is. Is Ranger the most talented guy out there in terms of just, you know, does he throw 97, 98? No. Does he have, you know, some of the nastiest stuff you've seen? No. But he has a good, you know, 3-4 pitch mix with the fastball, the slider, the changeup, and the sinker as well. And I also think that he could provide a lot for a team just in terms of, you know, leadership and moxie out there. And obviously we know he's a phenomenal glove. And the Phillies have been, I guess, rumored for a while now to be looking for another starter. And Garrett Crochet has been the big name, of course. Some others out there as well. I saw the Houston Astros are potentially looking to get off of Framber Valdez. I've seen the Phillies connected to the Mariners, two really good starters, and George Kirby and Castillo as well. So it's interesting. I do think that if a right deal came up for Ranger, that Dave Dombrowski would certainly listen, especially given that he only has 1 year of arbitration left. You haven't signed him to an extension. You gave Sanchez the extension. Obviously, Wheeler and Nola are signed for the time being. And if you're looking for another starter, and if they were to get Crochet and then extend him, that would kind of leave Ranger, it seems, on the outside looking in. So I'll be interested to see how they go about the whole Ranger thing this offseason. Again, I really like him for this team. I think the team really likes him, and I wouldn't be looking to actively shop him. But if a team came to Dave Dombrowski and there was, you know, a solid third baseman there in return, and thus you wanted to get off Boehm, or if an outfielder was there, a good platoon outfielder was there to potentially, you know, pair with Brandon Marsh. I've seen Lane Thomas of the Guardians come up in some rumors. I would be very interested in Lane Thomas. Was interested in him at the deadline last year. Think he'd be a great platoon option. Something of that nature. I would definitely listen to it if Ranger Suarez was involved. So that's where I'm kind of at on Ranger. And again, it seems like there has been so much smoke around Alec Boehm being traded this offseason that it's almost a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. But I do wonder, in the event that Alec Boehm is a Philly next year and we get to Citizens Bank Park on opening day and Alec Boehm is in the starting lineup, he is the Phillies' third baseman, I wonder what the feelings would be between Boehm and the organization. Would he come out motivated in terms of just, you know, you were in trade rumors all offseason, obviously didn't have a good postseason last year. I wonder what type of Alec Boehm we would get, because we understand what Alec Boehm's past has been in terms of showing his emotion, and, you know, for good and bad, and it affecting his game. And I just wonder if the bridge is, you know, burnt at this point. So very interested to see what comes out of the winter meetings in terms of Alec Boehm, because those rumors have continued to escalate, and it just seems like it is very likely that Alec Boehm is not a Philly at the start of next year. So again, some of the guys he has been rumored to be potentially traded for is a few guys on the Seattle Mariners. And it came out this week that George Kirby, along with Luis Castillo, are two targets the Phillies would, you know, definitely be looking to potentially acquire. I will say that it's very cute, I guess, of Dave Dombrowski to think that Alec Boehm would net either of those two guys. Those are two really talented starters, and I understand Luis Castillo would probably be more of a salary dump type of guy, which, again, could benefit the Phillies if the Mariners were just looking to get off him and you get a cheap guy like Boehm who still has an arbitration year left on his contract. So from that, it would make sense, but I don't really see Kirby being an option as well. But it seems like the guy from the Mariners that would make the most sense for both teams, I guess, would be Alec Boehm for Andrés Muñoz, their closer. And Munoz has been a phenomenal closer over the last few years.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In Seattle, and I think that he would fit the Phillies perfectly right now, especially given that, you know, Jeff Hoffman might not be on the team next year. And it gives you that lockdown closer that they've been looking for since this whole run started. And I guess they thought they had it with Kimbrel a couple years ago, but obviously we know he was kind of cooked and out of his prime. So that really was not, you know, your steady closer option there. And although Hoffman pitched at an extremely high level last year, you still had, you know, Estevez that you got at the trade deadline, and you didn't really have a set closer. And I haven't been a fan of the set closer in the past, but I think given how the last couple of years have gone down, I don't think it would be a bad thing for this team to change their philosophy with that and have a guy where you know who's coming in for the ninth inning each and every night. And Andrés Muñoz would absolutely be that guy. Throws absolute gas. He's got nasty secondary pitches, and I think that he would be really good in this bullpen. And I think you could get him with Caleb Cotham, and you could potentially get even more out of him. So would definitely be in on Muñoz if he was, you know, if the Phillies continue to talk to the Mariners about Alec Boehm. It seems like that would be the guy that would make both sense for, you know, would make sense for both teams, and would probably be a fair deal on both ends there. So I mentioned the Houston Astros and Fromber. They also apparently are making Kyle Tucker available again to potentially be traded. And if you listen to any of my, I think going back to last offseason and this trade deadline, I love Kyle Tucker. Like, he had trouble staying healthy this past year, but if you want to talk about a pure hitter and a guy who would bring a different approach to this lineup, I think Kyle Tucker is your guy right there. He's not Juan Soto in terms of, you know, his take and the amount he walks, but he's pretty damn close. He is a phenomenal hitter in this league, and I think that the Phillies would really benefit from having Kyle Tucker in the middle of their lineup. And the lefties you would have against, obviously, a league where there's a ton of right-handed pitching would just be insane with him, Schwarber, Harper. If Stock can bounce back, I just think that that would be, you know, a recipe for success right there, considering he takes a lot. He's a really smart hitter. He's disciplined. He doesn't chase out of the zone a ton. So I think that Kyle Tucker would be unbelievable to get here. Obviously, it's going to have to take a lot. I think he's probably going to want an extension soon after he gets here. I don't know exactly how much time he has left on his deal, but he is just insanely talented and obviously a proven winner as well. So I think it would be massive if you got him here. But again, you would probably, you know, it would be Justin Crawford, then some, in terms of the prospect haul that you would get. Probably they would ask for Painter or Miller, and they would be right to, you know, ask for that, even though he does become an unrestricted free agent after the season. So that would definitely play a factor, and you would have to give him an extension there. Speaking of guys who you would have to give an extension after they come here, we've talked about him a lot over the past few weeks. Garrett Crochet, still certainly in rumors for the Phillies. It seems like if that deal were to get done, it would probably have to be a three-team deal because Alec Boehm's name has continued to be floating around. And I don't think the White Sox, though, would benefit from acquiring a guy like Boehm, somebody who's already, you know, I think 28 years old and is, you know, not a young player anymore. He's certainly not a prospect. And it just seems like they probably want a prospect haul for Garrett Crochet. So it feels like you need another contending team probably in that deal. Maybe it's Seattle. Maybe it's the Astros. I don't know. But it would probably take another team to get that deal done with the White Sox with Boehm in it. Because if not, I'm telling you right now, they're going to ask for Andrew Painter or they're going to ask for Aiden Miller. And I just think that it's a really tough spot for the Phillies to be in because it feels like they have some really high-end prospects in their system for the first time in a long time. And it's exciting. And it's exciting for somebody like me who loves to see the prospects come up, who is anticipating Andrew Miller's debut, you know, all the time here. So I don't know if the Phillies give up Painter or Miller, but I'll tell you what, after that, it feels like anybody is fair game for Garrett Crochet, and they would probably give up some major league level players as well. Maybe it's a Brandon Marsh. Maybe it's a, you know, even a Johan Rojas. Obviously, it would take a massive prospect haul if it were either of those two guys. So it's interesting. It's something to continue to monitor, and it's going to come up in these winter meetings for sure. I am positive that they are going to be talking a lot of Garrett Crochet as Dave Dombrowski goes to Dallas next week. And some other news in terms of Phillies-related rumors that I saw was, again, another Astro here. Alex Bregman, who is a free agent right now, no longer on the Astros, was offered by his, you know, club or his former club 6 years, $160 million, but apparently he was looking to get $200 this offseason, so obviously they're still in negotiations there in Houston, and it feels like the AAV is going to have to get blown out of the water if the Phillies are going to sign him, because So if he's getting 6 for 160, that means that he would be, you know, getting over $26 million a year there. If you give one less year, because I'm much less worried about the years, or less worried about the AAV when it comes to Alex Bregman. I'm more worried about the years. Like, I don't want a 7 to 8 year Alex Bregman contract to where he's in his upper 30s and almost 40 and just absolutely cooked. Like, he's obviously on the decline, but you're playing for right now. So I would take 3 really, really good years of Alex Bregman and 2 to 3, you know, crappy years of Bregman if it meant that right now he made a real difference in this lineup and in the field playing third base as well. So I think you have to go 5, maybe 6 years at $30 million a year. And it sounds like a lot, but that's what it's going to take in this market right now, considering, you know, what the third base market is. And I do think it's a plus that he's willing to move across the infield, potentially to second base eventually. Maybe if, you know, Trey Turner moves to the outfield eventually and Bryson Stott moves over to short, that gives you some flexibility there. But I still like Bregman a lot. It just feels like he's going to get overpaid. And obviously he is not as young as he used to be. And, you know, it's probably past his prime. But I do think that if you get off Boehm, that's really your only option to where you can improve at third base. So that is kind of where I'm at with Bregman right now. I just think you have to go the route of giving the most AAV out of any team and beating the Astros in that way. So that's where I'm at with Bregman. Some other names to keep an eye on that just I've seen connected to the Phillies on Twitter and, you know, in different articles over the past week or so. Clay Holmes, I've seen, and ever since the offseason began, I feel like I've seen Clay Holmes to the Phillies potentially. I wouldn't love it. You know, it just feels like he is a blow-up type of guy. He was the closer for the Yankees, then was out of that role once, you know, Luke Weaver kind of established himself as the closer in New York. And apparently he's looking to potentially come back as a starter, similar to Jeff Hoffman. And if you're going to do that, just bring Jeff Hoffman back. I still really hope the Phillies do. And I'm not sure how much smoke is around this Jeff Hoffman as a starter thing yet. I just think that if you're going to go that route, you just pay a little more and you bring Jeff Hoffman back. So, yeah, Clay Holmes, wouldn't love it. Also, another Yankee I've seen, Tommy Canley. Like, I would be fine with it. But it obviously can't be your only addition to the bullpen there, because you are going to lose two massive right-handed arms potentially in Hoffman and Carlos Estevez. So, again, that would be a fine signing, but yeah, would need more than Tommy Canley for sure. Ryan Helsley, still on the trade block potentially for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I've seen a bunch of trades where it's Helsley and Arenado for, I guess, Boehm and prospects. I don't love that as much as I absolutely love Nolan Arenado in his prime. He is certainly, it feels like, on the decline, on a big decline, especially over the last couple of years. A lot of swing and miss there. I just don't think he would fit the lineup particularly well. And I do like Helsley, though. Helsley came off a really good year last year. Obviously has a great fastball and would be another type of guy like Andrés Muñoz who would come in, he'd be the established closer, and you would have, you know, an established ninth inning guy who you know is closing the game for you every night. And as I stated earlier, I really think that's the route that the Phillies should and that they will go down. I think they've learned their lesson kind of with the closer by committee, even though analytically that's what a lot of, you know, analytics departments will say now works, depending on matchups, righty-lefty, the whole nine yards. So I just think that having a set closer, you know, changing the look up a little bit in this bullpen would help this team for sure moving forward. So that's kind of all I got on the Phillies rumors so far. One signing I did have to get to that I saw come up earlier today was Luis Severino goes from the highest payroll in baseball in the New York Mets to the Excuse me, the Sacramento A's. He signs a 3-year, $67 million deal, which is the richest guarantee in A's history. Unbelievable. Luis Severino, that's their guy. But no, it's really interesting, and obviously as the A's move to a minor league ballpark and will eventually move to Vegas, it seems, they're going to have to get some notable names in there. And look, Severino had a good year last year, and obviously the Phillies saw him up close in the postseason, and he was really good for the Mets. So he gets paid. He's going out to Sacramento last year after like playing for the biggest payroll in baseball. He's going to the smallest payroll in baseball, but he gets paid. So Luis Severino will be in Sacramento A, I guess it's weird to say still, But yeah, that was the one big signing I wanted to mention from this past week. And one thing I had to talk about also before we get out of here is, I'm sure, you know, if you listen to this podcast and you're a fan of baseball, you've seen this going around Twitter, around social media, the golden at-bat rule that was presented by Rob Manfred, saying a team would allow, it would allow a team to choose one at-bat in every game to use their best hitter, regardless of where they're at in the lineup. And I hate to just, because I'm always a fan of making the game better, and I am fine with the pitch clock. I thought that the larger bases was a fine rule. I'm fine with the pickoff rule even. Like, all the new changes I am totally on board with. My goodness. This would be a mess. Like, I don't even know how they would go about regulating this. Like, if Bryce Harper bats and he makes the second out, is he allowed to just go right back up to the plate and the pitcher has to try to get Bryce Harper out again? I just think it would totally ruin the dramatics of the sport and essentially make it a gimmick or a joke. I just would not be a fan of that at all. And you watched postseason this year. I thought that, you know, there were a ton of exciting moments, and it feels like there is every year throughout baseball. So I don't think there's a need to change it. I think it's good as it is, and let's just pray that this rule does not come about, because would not love it, that is for sure. But that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, and hopefully we should have some news to talk about next week with the winter meetings going on. So, Dave Dombrowski, if you're listening, go get something done, man. Let's do it. Let's shake up this ball club. Let's see a move made, at least one. Just give me something to talk about on the podcast next week. So that's going to do it for Phillies 24/7 and for Phillies Today. This has been Justin Morgenstein, and have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary, and with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, And Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.